I tried to hire a dove, but a dove charges so much, so I ended up with a pigeon. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me. This sounds very loud. Thank you very much for inviting me back again. And obviously, I'll bring the usual greetings from Kingsthorpe Baptist Church. I won't fill you in on the news of all what's going on there yet. That'll come at a later date. But it's lovely to be here. I hope that you've come expecting to hear something from God this morning. This is going to be a bit of an interactive service. That's going to scare all of you off now. So at certain points, I might be asking people to volunteer to take part. And I like to scare the music group every time I come and do a service. I throw in songs and I say, do you know this one and that? But they've managed, I think, we've got them all, so we should be okay. So let's pray. Let's open our service together. Father, we thank you that we can meet here this morning in your house. And we thank you that you promised us where two or three are gathered there in the midst. So we welcome you here this morning, Jesus. And we pray that you would have the freedom to move amongst us. Move amongst us and challenge us and bless us, anoint us, give us peace where we need peace, Lord, and help us to receive from this service, and may we go from this place a different person to that which came in. We ask, Lord, that we would bless you in our worship, in your name. Amen. And we're going to stand together and sing See What a Morning. I've got to come over there because I can't say the words otherwise.
Death is dead, love has won,
Christ has conquered, and we shall reign with him, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. So, how many of you during your lives have had like birthday parties or anything like that, really? Most of us have. I've had one, as far as I can remember. I had a birthday party for my 50th, because everybody took pity on me and said, oh, you haven't had a party, you need to have one. So I had one for my 50th. Parties are great fun, aren't they? Especially if they're surprise parties. When you turn up somewhere and you didn't know something was happening, you didn't know all these people who knew you were going to be there at the party. Surprise parties are great because suddenly, out of nowhere, normally, somebody you weren't expecting appears. How many of you used to watch This Is Your Life? Yeah. And they used to go, do you recognize this voice? And then they'd go, oh, that's so-and-so. And out of the blue, they'd found somebody from somebody's past, hadn't they? And they would bring them onto the stage, and there would be this wonderful sort of reunion between the celebrity and a teacher from years ago, who apparently always believed in this person and always thought they were going to make it. They're always positive, aren't they? But it's a wonderful thing to have a surprise, to get something just turn up. This will fit in later on with the message that we're going to hear. But last week, we celebrated Easter. We celebrated the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and came back to life. He completed his mission. He'd done his service. He'd done that ministry for his 3 years and had died on the cross. And on Good Friday, that in a sense, it sounds awful, that's where we left him, isn't it? On Good Friday, we left him on the cross. And then on Easter Sunday, surprise, surprise, the tomb was empty. And suddenly I think the disciples got a bit of a better understanding of the things that Jesus had been talking about through his ministry. Because how many times through his ministry did you hear the disciples didn't know that that's what he was talking about? He wasn't talking about his death, but they didn't understand it. But after the resurrection, it's like everything fell into place. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples, and it was wonderful. There was this wonderful revelation of Jesus. And then he goes to be with the Father for a few days, and there's a bit of time passing. And we're going to pick it up a little bit later on from that point. But the surprise appearance, the surprise, Jesus who was dead, now alive forever and ever. Ruler of the world, victorious over sin and death and sickness. Jesus is alive. We're going to sing our second hymn, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Now, before we sing this, I'm going to say, I've got a reading which we're going to do afterwards, and I need at least 2 male volunteers to come and do this, and I'll do one of the readings. I've got 3 male parts, and then a part for everybody. 2 male parts, one that can be either, and then a part for everybody. So, any volunteers? Everybody ducks then, don't they? Here we go. Would you read the part, when we come to it, would you read the part of Jesus? Okay. So you've got a very important part. Somebody over there? Would you read the part of Thomas?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Got somebody to read the part, it can be male or female, who's happy to read the part of the narrator. So you're going to hold it all together for us. And Paul and Ruth, you can read that big part there, that one that's got one line. So you're so this is the reading after we've sung this song. So we're going to sing Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness together. And then we'll do the reading afterwards. one of the lines in that song always intrigues me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. And I always think, but I do know how much it cost. It cost Jesus. That's a fantastic price that Jesus, that God puts over you and your life. So our scripture reading today is from John chapter 20. And we're going to meet a few characters in this. Those of you that are taking part in this, if you want to stand, that's entirely up to you. If not, just read it out nice and clearly so everyone can hear. But it's John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Thank you very much, everyone, and for the pigeon joining in. So, it's thinking, I didn't want to hear this message, I want to go. I've chosen a song that, for me, is a relatively old, it's not old, but it makes a statement. And bearing in mind that that story that includes Thomas, the song that we're going to sing is I Believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. So it's a statement about what we believe. So we'll stand together and sing I Believe in Jesus. Oh, in a minute. They've killed the computer. Oh, well. Gone over there now. Can I have a copy? Can I have a copy? Thank you. Okay. Believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. works if you don't already know, but the card wasn't in there. And you'd then ask the question about where has Jesus gone, like the disciples would ask. And that, I said, well, what's happened to him? Mary went to the tomb on Easter morning. She said, what's happened to him? What have you done with him? And then I would have hidden previously under one of the seats or on one of the seats. I would have put an A5 envelope and I would get them to open it. And inside was an A5 size playing card of the King of Hearts. Because I said, the thing is, unexpectedly, Jesus came back bigger and more powerful than he was before, because it's a bigger card, you see. That's the story. And it was just a good illustration that Jesus suddenly appeared with this power and this authority. But I want to, you know, Jesus could have said to the disciples, you just left me hanging there, literally. You just left me hanging there. What, you know, all this teaching, you know, I've been warning you about it, and yet you've just left me hanging there. But he doesn't. He comes back and he says, peace be with you. In other words, don't worry about what's happened. I don't hold it against you. It's fine. So I want to ask you a couple of questions on that point. How often do we let Jesus down? Because I think I do it fairly often. I think if we're honest, how often do we hide instead of speaking about our faith? How often, when we have an opportunity, when something's happened, and we could talk about it, do we just keep quiet? And we keep quiet because we're frightened of what the world is going to do to us because of what we believe. Because the world's going to ridicule us, because the world's going to laugh at us. They're going to tell you you believe in some fairy stories, or you believe in something that's now so out of date, it needs updating and modernizing. How often do we let him down? How often have we kept quiet when we should have spoken out? And how often do we deserve the wrath of Jesus? But he comes to us in peace. Peace be with you. And when you do make those mistakes, when you do fail to stand up when we could have the opportunity, Jesus forgives you. He does not hold that against you. He comes to you and he says, don't worry, the next time we'll work together and we'll do it together. So he's appeared to the disciples. He's greeted them with a loving message. And then he gives them instructions as to what he wants them to do next. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So Jesus, not only has he reappeared to the disciples, not only has he greeted them with a greeting of love, he's now giving them a mission. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And that's what he does to all of us. When we become Christians, when we give our lives to him, he's saying, as I came for you, I want you to take that message into the world around you. And that's hard, because I think in today's world, the Christian message is trying to be suppressed. They're trying to hold it down. They're trying to tell the church that we need to be quiet. We need to just sort of, if you're going to be a Christian, that's fine, be a Christian, but do it behind your own closed doors, sort of thing. Our society, in my lifetime, and I'm only 58 this year, I'm not yet there, but I'm only 58. In my lifetime, we have gone from seeing evangelists like Tony Campolo and Billy Graham and various others who have been known for having great big meetings with thousands of people coming along to hear the gospel message, to churches that barely can survive because the membership has gotten so low because people don't want to attend anymore. What's happened in our world? We've been shut up. We've been gagged. We've been told to keep quiet. And yet the world desperately needs to hear the truth. The world desperately needs to hear the message of salvation. And you know what? You have been chosen to be a mouthpiece for Jesus. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. It's a hard message to hear for some Christians, because some of us think, oh, I couldn't do this. This is not my natural place to be up the front. But God has called me to do this. And I don't know why he called me to do it, but he did. And I do this, and I prepare, and I have fear and trepidation that as I look out on the congregations and see what's the faces, I always look for faces that are sort of nodding with me and encouraging me, you know, because 90% of the faces, not so much in this church, I'll say that here now, but like I have in our church, you know, there are faces that I avoid looking at. Because you can see the look that's almost like, oh, Christ, I wish you'd hurry up and finish. You know? But we've lost the passion for what we believe because we're frightened of what the world is going to do to us. So we're cowering away in corners. And that's not what Jesus called us to be. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, I don't say that glibly, because when people just quote that at me when they're having difficult times, I say to them, fly. I go, what do you mean? You just told me you can do all things through Christ. You can't just use that verse. You've got to keep it in context. But when you feel frightened about sharing the gospel, you go, I can't do that. You can do all things because Christ will give you the strength to do it. You can stand up as being a Christian. Why? Not in your strength, but in Christ's strength. It's there. It's because God wants us to be his hands and his feet and his voice. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And then he empowers them. He empowers them by breathing on them. Oh, good. Next slide, please. I'm doing my Van Tam thing now. Next slide, please. He empowers them because he says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them, breathes the breath, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us as Christians to empower us and to strengthen us and to guide us and to fill us and to encompass us and to go with us in front and beyond and saying to us, you know, I am with you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And I've found that in numerous occasions when I'm talking to people, a conversation, and suddenly it turns slightly and you can talk about what we believe or what Christ has done for me in my life. And suddenly you think, well, I didn't plan on saying any of that. But it came out because the Holy Spirit gave us the opportunity. So Jesus has chosen us to share his message and he's given us the empowerment to do it. And then, what's the next slide? Thomas. See, I love Thomas. Thomas is another one of my favourite disciples. If I've got favourite disciples, my favourite one is Peter, because Peter engages mouth before brain. Thomas comes a close second. And Thomas says to them, when they all say to him, we have seen the Lord. He says, well, I am not going to believe that unless I see him. And I do this, and I put my hand in the wounds, and I do not believe you. There's 11, 10 of you, because Judas has gone by then. There's 10 of you telling me you've seen Jesus. You're all lying unless I see Jesus myself. Thomas is like most of us, isn't he? If we're really honest. We sometimes doubt, don't we? Because we've never seen God, never seen Jesus. We sometimes doubt it. It's sometimes difficult. How many of you have often have sort of thought one day when you're praying, you've gone up and gone, I'm just talking to the ceiling here. What am I doing? You know, let's be honest. We doubt at times, don't we? But Thomas doubts, and Thomas is like every one of us. But he's a bit more adamant than the rest of us. He's a bit, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. So I've lost my little bit of paper that tells me what I'm expecting to come up. Oh, here it is. And then, see, even the preachers don't get it right. And then we get, the next slide, please, is that Jesus does come. And I love this bit of this story, because he comes out and he says, peace be with you. And it tells us, but Thomas was there this time. So Thomas is probably now thinking, you were right. So Jesus is standing there. And he says to everybody, peace be with you. And then he makes a beeline for Thomas. And he says to Thomas, Put your fingers in the wounds in my hand. Put your hand in the wound of my side. It's like he's quoting the very things that Thomas has said he would do, but even though Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said it. So he's saying to him, this is what you said would make you believe. Thomas is one of those characters that we find it so easy to criticise, so easy to go, oh, Thomas. It's like when Peter walked on water, isn't it? And we all moan at him because he only did two steps before he sank. And I sort of think, well, when was the last time we tried it? You know, how many steps have you managed to make on the water? But it's very easy for us to look at these characters. I think these are wonderful faith-filled characters. You know, but you look through the stories and you see all the times that they were tested in their faith, that they didn't quite understand what was going on. And Thomas is forgiven by Jesus. He says to him, put your finger here and see my hands and side. Do not become untrusting. Trust me. And then he says something really, really special to Thomas. He says, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe that have not seen me. So Thomas sees Jesus, touches the wounds, which means he touched the flesh and blood of the risen Christ. And he says, my Lord and my God. He says, when was the last time we said that to Jesus? My Lord and my God. We want Jesus to be our friend. So we talk to him. I have this habit. I'm not a very traditional type person. You may have picked that up over the times that I've been coming here. But I chat with God. I don't do the, oh Lord, we come to you and we ask that thou wouldst do this in thy time. You know, I don't talk like that in normal life. So I'm not going to talk to God like that. I talk to God like I'm talking to you now. I'll go to him. I have arguments with God. There are times in my life when I've asked God things or I've tried to be obedient and I've said, but you said this in the scriptures and you're not doing it. Why? And he says, well, go and look at what I really said. God has a tendency to win the arguments, but I do argue with him. I want to know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And Thomas gets forgiven. Thomas goes on then with his own ministry after that, doesn't he? With the disciples, and then after that we know about Thomas. But then there is what I'm calling the big question. Next slide. The big question. Oh, you might need to, there's four bits on this. So the first bit is the big question, seeing is believing. Or is it believing is seeing? Because it's faith. The Christian life, the Christian walk, is a walk of faith. We don't have to see something to believe it. And this was my argument with God one day. All right. So I was arguing with God. And he said, right, we were praying for somebody who was ill. And I said, you said in the Bible, this is me having a conversation with God. You said, if two or three of us agree about anything, it will be done. And I can hear God going, yeah. I said, so there were 15 of us in that room. Why did nothing happen? He goes, right, now go and find out what it really says. Now, by that, I go home then, and back then I would have got all the translations of the Bible that I'd got on the shelf. Nowadays you can pull out your phone, can't you? You get 100 translations. But anyway, one of the translations, I can't remember which one it is, says, if two of you on earth agree, it's got a comma, as if touching, it will be done. And I went, oh. And God said, now go and read Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things not yet seen. How come something that you have not seen, how come something that is not there have substance? It doesn't. How can you have evidence of something that is hoped for? Because if you've got evidence of it, you don't need to hope for it, do you? It's there. Because you hope for it. But faith, our trust in God, you're all watching the pigeon, aren't you? Our faith in God is that we don't need to see him. I trust that he is there. I trust and believe that he has a purpose for me. I trust and believe that he's looking after me. I believe in his word. It might not all make sense, but it doesn't mean I don't believe it. Faith is the life that we walk, is the walk that we live. Our life is a life of faith. If we prayed for the sick, which we should be doing, and they were healed, which sometimes they are, if every person who was sick that we prayed for was healed, churches would be jam-packed, wouldn't they? Because they'd all be coming and going, all I've got to do is go to church and I'll get healed. It's wonderful. But it's not like that. I don't know why God chooses to heal some and not others. I don't know why God allows people to go through difficult times like dementia and cancer and things like that. I have no idea. We've got a friend of ours, Ruth doesn't really know them, but I knew them, who's just been diagnosed with dementia. She's just had a stroke last weekend, and it's not looking good. And the people that we've just been on holiday with is saying, I don't understand how God can allow a Christian to go through dementia. But then I sort of think, I have to be careful because this person's quite forceful, so I didn't say it. But I think, but why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't God? Because if by becoming a Christian you would avoid everything like that, then everybody would be coming to church. If I want to guarantee never to get cancer or dementia or any debilitating disease, then fine, we'd pack the churches. But even Christians go through hard times. Even Christians get dementia and get cancer and things. But the point is, through it, we have to believe in faith that God knows what he is doing. If Christians are never going to suffer, I'd like to know why the disciples were killed in the way they were killed. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were fed to the lions. Some of them were hung, well, were not hung, drawn, and quartered, but were drawn, quartered, sawn by, you know. If God's just going to save everybody because they believe in him from that sort of thing, I'd like somebody to go back and tell all the Christians of the past that that's what God does. It's faith. Do you believe in God? That's why I chose that song. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and he rose again. I believe he is the way to heaven. Why do I believe that? Because that's what the Bible tells me. Because that's what the Word of God says. And I don't want to change it to include, if you believe in any religion, they all lead to God. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way, not I am a way. It's faith. And Thomas lost sight of Jesus, but he was blessed, in my opinion, he was blessed because Jesus appeared to him and said, Thomas, what they've told you is real. And what I'm saying to you today is, you may never see Jesus this side of heaven, but please believe in him. Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen from the dead. So the big question, is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? And the last thing that Jesus said, we are blessed, and I've put in italics, that's mine, so we are blessed, even though we have not seen, and yet we have come to believe. We are blessed. This is what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. We take it all on faith. But if you believe in God, if you trust in God, he will show you his will and his power. He will speak to you however that voice appears, however he appears to you. And there are people who have had visions of Jesus. I was talking at work the other day. We have various groups come in. We've had one a couple of weeks ago, Christian Friends of Israel. We've got another group coming in this week, which is Dovetail Shalom, which is another group that prays for Israel. and they have these newspapers and reporters and stuff out in the world, and there apparently there are lots of I think it's Palestinians that are having visions of Jesus, because they're realizing that they need Jesus. That part of the world needs Jesus. This fighting that's going on, this tit-for-tat stuff, is not what Jesus wants from them. And people are beginning to see that what they need is Jesus. And there was a newspaper sent out the other week, one of their newspapers, and its headline was, Gaza Needs Jesus. And this was said by somebody from that region that would not normally say these things. We are blessed because we believe, even though we haven't seen. But I believe that we've got a task ahead of us. I believe we're living, I don't want to say we're living in the end times, in the last days, because that's a bit ambiguous. But what I do want to say is that we're living in a world that desperately needs the message of the church, that desperately needs to hear how much God loves them. And we are God's mouthpiece, and we have to be willing to put ourselves in dangerous situations, not life-threatening situations, but in places where there is a possibility of ridicule and people laughing at you because you believe the Bible. But that's what God's called us to be. We are lights in a dark place, and we need to be sharing that. So the good news is Jesus is alive. The good news is that Jesus forgives us for the times that we keep our mouths shut when we should be declaring the truth. The good news is that you have been redeemed by what Jesus' death on the cross. And if you don't yet know him, if you've not made that decision to be a Christian, and this is all gobbledygook to you, please chat with somebody from the church. Come and chat with me afterwards. And it's really, really simple. This is the beauty of the Christian faith. It's as simple as going to Jesus and just saying, Lord, I'm sorry that I've got it wrong. I've done it wrong all these years. I want you in my life. Come in. And that's it. No strings attached. You don't become puppets. You don't lose everything. You don't lose your mind. God doesn't force himself on you. It's a simple decision that says, Jesus, please come into my life. Couldn't be more simple, could it? And people go, it can't be that. There's got to be a catch. What's the catch? You know, it isn't a catch. That's what it is. Jesus, come into my life. I want to live for you. And I believe at this point, Thomas says, Jesus, my Lord and my God. And his vision of Jesus changed. And he went on then to share the good news. The Easter story is a wonderful story with lots and lots of lessons in it. So I hope I brought something out of that. And please don't look down on Thomas in future. Please see that he's probably the realist, isn't he? So we're going to sing The Greatest Day in History. And then Paul is going to come and lead us in our prayers before we sing our final hymn. Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive.
think about those words that Martin has just shared with us today. You know, we do live in a dark world, don't we, where people desperately need Jesus. And as Martin said, you know, Jesus never promised us a trouble-free life. So when we pray today, let's just remember that, you know, we need to hold on to that faith that Jesus offers us, even though things seem impossible in this world in which we live. So let's just pray. Father God, as we come before you now, we just think about the state of the world, Lord, in which we live. Lord, day after day, we look around and see a world which just seems to be in complete and utter chaos, where people, Lord, seem to be moving further and further away, Lord, from what you intended this world to be. We think, Lord, of those areas of this world where there's war and fighting and bloodshed and conflict, Lord. Think of the situation, Lord, in the Middle East at the moment, Gaza and Israel, Lord, and Ukraine. And Father, we just sometimes just shake our heads and just wonder, Lord, why it's all happening. But Father, we know that you only are the answer to ending of wars. And Father, we pray, Father, for those that are stirring things up, Lord, on either side. We pray, Lord, particularly for those who are leading, those who are responsible, Father, for the things that are going on at the moment. And we just pray, Father, that somehow that you might just be able to change things. We pray, Lord, for those who were caught up in the middle of these atrocities, those whose families have been torn apart, those who've lost homes, those who've just had their lives, Lord, completely destroyed in one way or another. And we pray, Father, for those who are trying to help them and trying to bring order, Lord, in a chaotic situation. And Lord, even in our own country, Father, we can see that things are not as you would want them to be. And we pray, Father, for the land in which we live. Lord, we can see the way, Lord, that Christianity is being demolished in different ways. The way, Father, that people are trying to undermine the voice of Jesus. Lord, we pray that each one of us, Lord, might have the courage, Father, to stand up, Lord, against some of the things that are going on at the moment. That we might, Lord, have that faith, Lord, that Thomas had, that we might really be able to confront, Lord, these issues and sort things out. Lord, whether it be in our workplaces, Lord, where we meet with our friends, schools, Lord, or whatever situation, Father, that we might find ourselves in, that you might give us the courage, Father, to stand up for you. We pray, Lord, today for those who aren't able to be with us this morning. We pray for those who are unwell, those who are perhaps in care homes, Lord, those who are in hospital. We pray for those on holiday, Father, and pray that you might just bless and refresh them. And we pray, Lord, for each person, Lord, that's here today. We pray, Lord, for those that we know, those that are going through difficult times at the minute. Those, Lord, who are suffering from stress, from illnesses, Lord, those who are waiting the results of hospital tests and treatments. We just pray, Lord, for them at this time. And finally, Lord, we just pray for the things that are on our minds, Lord. the things, Father, we're finding difficult to come to terms with at the moment. The things, Lord, that are getting us down. And Father, whatever it is that might be getting in the way, Lord, of our walk with you, we pray this morning that we might just offer it to you, might just put it back, Lord, at the foot of your cross, so that, Lord, we might have those burdens removed. We pray, Lord, as we continue our worship this morning, that you might continue to speak to us through the hymns and through the prayers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So to finish with, our final hymn is one that you'll all know. You'll be relieved about that. O Lord my God, how great thou art. So let's stand together and sing this hymn. So, Father, as we come to the end of this service, we ask, Lord, that you would implant into us the things that we have heard today that you want us to remember. And the things that don't make sense to us or whatever, Lord, we pray that you would push them to one side. But more than that, Lord, we pray that you would help us to overcome our fear of sharing about you. To remember that you are going with us. You are before us, beside us, and behind us. You surround us with your Holy Spirit, and you will give us the words to say if we are faithful. So, Lord, as we go out into the world, we pray that we would be lights shining brightly for you. Lord, declaring the truth wherever we go. In Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you for enduring my long message, and have a great week.